27, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. And this morning I thought I was going to have a short sermon. The Lord got in on it. And I bet Jeffrey thought I wasn't never going to quit. I remember doing children's church all those years. And it'd get 12:30. I'd say, that long-winded preacher, is he not ever going to quit preaching? I need to go home. I got all these kids in there. I'd have 100 kids in there, you know. I got all these kids in there. They jump in seats and fighting and fussing and they ready to get out. And then I'd say, forgive me, Lord. Preach on, brother. Preach on. Amen. And, so tonight I'm going to try. But I just want to say a little bit about that message this morning. I'm not done. I didn't finish. I didn't finish. I'm going to finish next week. And I may not finish next week. I may go to the next week. I may not finish this. I'm telling you. So, but tonight I may not finish this. I'm never finished. You ever notice that? Amen. Amen. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Amen. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Yes. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Amen. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Amen. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Amen. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Amen. And now shall mine head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I want you to notice he's talking about his enemies and fighting and turmoil. But then he says, he says this. He said, I'll offer the sacrifice of joy. Yes. Wasn't easy. If it was easy, he wouldn't have called it a sacrifice. Offer the sacrifice of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. 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 Psalm 27, David was telling about his fearless trust in the Lord. Of all the people in the Bible, if you want to find somebody that was persecuted and hurt and was even sometimes a failure himself, you read after David. And yet God turns it around and says he was a man after God's own heart. And somebody did it again today. And I wish they wouldn't do it to me. Don't put on my Facebook page, does God have favorites? Yes, he does. David was one of God's favorites. Amen. Amen. Joseph was one of God's favorites. Amen. King Solomon was one of God's favorites. Amen. Amen. Peter was one of God's favorites. Amen. Amen. I mean, we just go through the book. There were millions of believers, but God didn't choose to name them all, but he named the ones that we could use to help us be better Christians, even if we did fail. And even if we did fall, here's a man that fell terribly from the pinnacle of power and respect, ended up in a cave, running away from his own son. Jeffrey, I don't look good enough. Would you turn them lights on right there? I'm teasing. I just want it to be good on the camera there, okay? Oh, yeah, amen. Amen, amen. But I want to tell you this. David learned how to trust God. In spite of everything, he trusted him whenever he was rich, and he trusted him when he was poor. He trusted him when he was a little sheep herder's son, and he trusted him when he stood as a little teenage boy in front of the biggest man on planet Earth denying God. And then he turned around and he trusted him when he lived in the biggest house in Israel. And he trusted him as he began to gather the things to build the house of God. He trusted him. And yet he still trusted him as he's going out in the city and his son has turned the whole country against him. And he's going out in the city and Shimei throwing rocks at him, cussing him. Throwing rocks at him, cussing him. By the way, go read the story of Shimei. If it hadn't been for David, he'd have been dead that day already. And one of the soldiers said, King David, let me chop that man's head off and shut him up. He said, no, God might have sent that man. I might deserve what he's saying. And he went out of town. Now, God, through David, was showing us that God does a work for us.
Yes.
Now, you know, there's nothing we can do that will make us saved or more saved. There's nothing you can do to make you less saved. The work is in God. God does the work. And David is extolling the work and the keeping power of a holy God. So let's think about our lives tonight. Now think about my life. God done a work in me because he picked me up. That's grace. He picked me up. I didn't pick me up.
Right.
People say, well, I picked myself up by my own bootstraps. You ever tried that? You'll fall flat on your hind. Amen. You ain't gonna be able to do that. God picked us up. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, he says this in verse 4. He says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God had chosen me and picked me up out of the miry clay.
Amen.
God did that. I didn't do that. You didn't do that.
Right.
Tried your best. You were still a failure.
Come on.
You try your best. Boy, before you got saved, you try to quit things and start things, you know, and 2 or 3 weeks later found out you failed at it. You try to stop cussing. You get mad at somebody and start cussing. Don't look at me like you didn't do that. Amen. 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 Try to stop smoking. Hey, a week later, you're over at the store buying a new car in the L&M's. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Langster and Monroe cigarettes. And for you foreigners, that's two counties in Langster, in South Carolina. Okay. But he picked you up. Brother Ron, when he found you, you wasn't worth shooting. Amen. Been wasting a bullet. That's why your wife never shot you. Amen. Amen. When he found you, Jeffrey, you might have been a good little old boy, but there wasn't nothing good on the inside. You were just as mean as the rest of them. Amen. That old Methodist preacher's wife might have taught you how to play the piano, but you had blue suede shoes in your heart. You had Heartbreak Hotel going through your head. Amen. Some of you older ones, you had the Oogie Boogie Bugle Boy or something. I don't know what you had. Amen. Billy Burgess had wasted days and wasted nights. Amen. If God hadn't have picked us up, he chose us. We didn't choose him. He looked down there one day and he said, I'm going to do something for that old gal, that old boy, that'll get me glory, because if I do something with him, people will say, God had to be in that. Hey, he picked us up. He picked us up. You don't know where some of us come from. You don't know. I tell y'all that story, me and somebody, I don't remember who it was. Might have been Thomas, we was up here. Yeah, way out here at that, somebody's mountain, Nanny's mountain or something back here, that mountain. And then went back up those dirt roads and found this guy. Somebody done sent us to see him, you know. And we got here, big old guy come to the door, tattoos all over him, you know. And, back then that meant you'd been to prison, not church. And, boy, we went in there and we sat down. We went in there and sat down with him and he welcomed us. He's real nice to us, you know. And I told him who we were and who sent us. He said, "Well, preacher, I'll just be honest with you, wasting your time." He said, "I wish I could come." He said, "But you don't know what I've done." I said, "And I don't want to know." He said, "But if the people in my church, in your church knew what I'd done, they wouldn't want me to sit beside them." I said, "Let me tell you something. There's people in my church, if you knew what they'd done, you wouldn't want them to sit beside you. Amen." I said, "You come on. You come on. You'll fit right in. Amen." Because see, he chose us. He lifted us up. We didn't make that choice. God did that. And before the foundation of the world, Brother Billy, he looked down here and he said, "I'm going to make a planet Earth. I'm going to put some people on it. And there's a little old boy down there needs a haircut real bad in the 1970s. And I'm going to say 80s. I'm going to save that boy." You know why I'm going to do that? Not because he deserves it, but because I'll get glory for that. Amen. Amen. And look, he picked us up. We were in a miry clay. Through grace, he chose us. Through grace, he called us. Through grace, he keeps us. We're not even worthy to stay saved.
Amen.
If we got what we deserved this past week, we'd go to hell. Now, we don't do what we used to do, thank God. But we don't always do what we ought to either.
Right, that's right.
And sometimes we still do things we ought not. Amen? I'm glad I have eternal life. I'm glad it's not a little while until I do something wrong, because I'd have messed that up the first week after I got saved.
Amen.
But he keeps us by his grace. He lifted you up. He established you going forth. He put your feet on the rock. And now he keeps you saved. And one day he will yet deliver you. All that's grace. Everybody, that's grace. Now you ought to get better. You ought to be better. You ought to strive to be better for his glory. Amen. The love of Christ ought to constrain us, like he said. It ought to. We ought not do things we shouldn't. But when we do, thank God, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's grace, see. We don't deserve that.
Right.
Amen? And I think about David. You study the life of David. He didn't deserve the blessings that God poured out on him. But God chose him. And God raised him up. And God established his going forth. And God put his feet on a solid rock. And he gave him a new mind and a new heart. And look, no matter what happened, no matter how many failures or whatever happened in his family, he always trusted the Lord to get him to where he ought to be. And then, guess what? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. I want you to turn there and mark this one. Just 16 and 17 to give it clarity, verse 16. Nehemiah chapter 17, but we'll read verse 16 and go with it. "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them." Boy, we know a bunch of people like that, don't we?
Yeah.
"But hardened their necks, and in rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage." In other words, they picked the leader to take them back to Egypt. "Ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook us them not." Amen. He said the children of Israel were rebellious children. They were stiff-necked. They were hard-hearted. They didn't want to obey God. Matter of fact, they got so rebellious, they picked them out later and said, "We'll just leave Moses and we'll go back. We'll go back to Egypt." But God loved them anyway. And he kept them anyway. I said Nehemiah, not Nehi. I said Nehemiah. I think of Nehi every time I see that, and I see y'all searching pages. There's no Nehi in the Bible. It's Nehemiah. Okay? But God established their going forth, and God set them up. Now, He pardoned them. He pardoned them. Now, there used to be a man came to this church that had a pardon. He had committed, and I never knew what his, did you, Rivers, did you ever know what his crime was? I never knew what his crime was. But he was put into prison, and he got a pardon and was released from jail. And that's his story. That's his testimony, that he was released from jail. And let me tell you something. Wouldn't it have been a fool, Devin, if the sheriff walked in there and said, the governor just wrote you a pardon, I got it right here, all you got to do is get up and walk out, and you said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to earn it before I leave.
Right.
I'm going to work my way out of here. I'm going to prove to them. Yeah, you'd fail the next day if you tried that too. Amen. So, by God's grace, in the life of David, He pardoned David. Now, if you study the life of David, you'll see that he was no better Christian than you are. But God kept forgiving him and kept forgiving him and kept forgiving him. And let me tell you something. He's in heaven today because God wiped the slate clean. He threw all those sins in the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more, he said. He said, put them behind his back. You know why he said that? You can't see nothing behind your back. Well, what if he turns around? Well, it's still behind his back. It's still back there. It's behind his back. Amen. And thank God that not only did he pick us up, but after he did, he pardoned us. He doesn't hold that stuff over our head anymore. Thank God. Well, sometimes I'll see people, you know, and they'll remind me of my failures. They'll remind me of my sins, especially family. They'll do that to you. Amen. Boy, you'll go to them, you'll say, well, I got saved. They say, I don't care. I know who you really are.
Yeah.
And you'll say, no, you don't. I'm not that person anymore. And they'll say, yeah, you are. I grew up with you. I know what you are. Ain't that what they say, Billy? Amen. He don't know. Jeffrey, they say that to you. Amen. Listen, but when God pardons you, God takes it off the books. Right. Did you know that that man that I told you about that got that pardon, if he gets pulled over by the police today, they're going to search his history. They take your driver's license. They go back to the car. They get on the computer. They look for your record. Your criminal record. And did you know they might find some stuff on there? I don't know. But I tell you one thing they won't find. That's the thing that he was pardoned for.
Right.
And when the old devil brings up the record, when the old devil brings up things about me in the past, Lord looks over at that recording angel. He says, look that up. And the recording angel looks through there and he says, Ronnie, what was that name again? Ron, let's see. Clarence, was it Clarence? I can't find anything. Amen. Amen. And he says, what sins are you talking about? Amen. There's no more sin. God saved me and then he pardoned me. It's gone. It's not that he saved me just from my past, but past, present, and future. It's all gone. Amen. There's nothing in the book anymore under my name other than saved by the grace of God. I like that. If that don't excite you, maybe you need to get pardoned.
Amen.
But you know, a lot of foolish people walking around won't accept that pardon. They won't accept that pardon. Now I guarantee that, hey, there's a bunch of people in jail right now that have been blowing up stuff, burning stuff, looting stuff. I've been reading the paper and they're catching them. Hey, what's dumber than that? Every one of them's on camera nowadays. You go in there and come out with a 50-inch screen TV smiling. And they're putting them in jail. They're putting them in jail. Amen. And they just wish they'd had somebody to come scrub that off their record. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what. He didn't just pick me up, but he pardoned me, and that established my going forth.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
I can live like I never sinned.
Yep. Amen.
That's called justified.
Amen.
Just as if I'd never sinned. Devin, when you see those old friends and they bring up those old memories, say, that's not me anymore.
Right?
Well, you hypocrites said, no, I'm not a hypocrite. God's the one that said that, not me. He's forgotten every one of those sins. By His grace, He saved me, and by His grace, He's pardoned me. And then not only that, listen to this. By His grace, He cleanses me. He purges me, if you will. Turn to Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. I'm going to wait on you this time so you don't look at me like that cow looking at that new gate. Hebrews 9:14. Say amen when you get it.
Amen.
You got it. Amen. I feel like we're in vacation Bible school. You got it. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. Now He's the one that's without spot. Listen to this. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean, preacher? Well, He purged me through faith. You know what He's done? The blood of Jesus has taken every bit of that out of me. He purged me. Whenever you purge, used to be a fad. I don't know if women's young ladies are still doing this or not. They were kind of dumb to do it. But they'd go to a restaurant and eat and eat and eat and then run to the bathroom and purge. Y'all remember that? Didn't none of y'all do that though, did you? I knew it, I can tell. And listen. And boy, they'd eat, and they'd run in there and throw it up and then go back and get desserts. And they did.
Yeah.
Amen. And sometimes we have to do things to purge. You might have to purge a water line or a sewer line or something at your house to get stopped up, and you clean that out. Now, let me tell you something. Hebrews 9:14. I read my scripture. Let me tell you something. What the blood of Christ did, it went in there and it did away with all that ugly, nasty, filthy, vile sin that was in you. That's right. Now you've become a new creature. You don't have to be like that anymore.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I always thought, why would people eat stuff to make them sick and then go back and eat it again? You don't have to do that. But listen to this. Thank God I don't have to keep getting purged.
Amen.
It's one time by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus came in. It all went out. I was born again. I got a new heart, new mind, new spirit. I'm a new creature, and I never have to worry about that again.
Amen.
You say, preacher, you'll never sin again. I didn't say that, but I'm saying me, the real me, the one that's in me, the one that the Apostle Paul was talking about when they were there in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8. There's a spiritual battle going on, and God the Holy Ghost has come in and made a new creature out of me, and what I used to be, I am not anymore. Amen? And boy, we like to talk about that Romans chapter 7, you know, he said, what I would do, I do not, and what I would not, that I do. It's not me, but sin that dwelleth in me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But people stop with Romans chapter 7. Why don't you go to Romans chapter 8? It's just a number, a paragraph number, so you can memorize it. You didn't have to stop at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. Most people classify themselves in Romans chapter 7, not realizing that the blood of Jesus has purged them from all those dead works, the things they thought would get them to heaven, the things that wouldn't get them to heaven, and God, the Holy Ghost, through His blood, has cleansed us. And that's why we can say, whiter than snow. Now that's what God's work does in you. You can't do that.
Right. Amen.
We used to go fishing when I was a boy. We didn't have men to teach us nothing, so we learned things the hard way. We'd get an old pole or a stick and put some line on it and a hook and old weight, you know, and go down to the creek. Rum Creek. I don't know why they called it Rum Creek, but that's what they call it, Rum Creek. And on the way, we didn't have money to buy bait, so you know what we did? We turned over cow patties. Did you know a dried cow patty is the best place to find night crawlers that long? If you don't know what a night crawler is, a worm, earthworm. That I'm not exaggerating. That long or longer, ain't it? Come on, tell us, cattle man. You go out there now. Don't do it if they warm. You ain't gonna get nothing but a mess. Just... Or if you step in, you feel like. But if you look down there and you see a pile of dried, it looks like a round pile of dried up grass. Get you a stick and flip that thing over. Of course, if you're a country boy like me, just took your finger and flipped it over. But if you're too shy for that, get you a stick, flip that thing over, and you'll find night crawlers, all those worms all in it. It ain't nothing but grass. What are y'all making such ooze about? And look, those worms are crawling in there. And I'd get those worms, and I'd go down there, and I'd catch some of the biggest fish you'd ever catch in life out of the creek using worms. You know why I got to do that? Because a cow was purged. And God used that to let me find a worm so I could go fishing. Amen? Now, let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus did the work. I don't have to do the work.
Amen?
Amen. 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 The mercy of Jesus did the work. It pardoned me. I don't have to do that work. The grace of God did the work. I don't have to do that. God did that. Could you get that through your head? God does it from beginning to finish. It's all God.
Yes, sir.
For by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves.
Right.
Not of yourselves. Can I say that again?
Yes.
That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
God does the work. There's nobody going to go to heaven and say, I made it because I'm a good old boy. I made it because I'm a lady of ladies. No, sir. If you don't get the blood of Jesus, if you don't get the mercy of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, if you don't get the faith in Christ, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. If you try to do the work, you're going to fail. Why not let him do the work?
Amen.
Amen. Now, because of what he did, I'm just like David. My enemies can't defeat me.
That's right.
Now, I know you don't have any enemies. I know everybody loves you, and Christians ain't supposed to have enemies and all this stuff. I don't hate anybody. Nobody's my enemy, but apparently I'm their enemy. Amen? Y'all still with me? But David, his enemies were defeated because God did the work. Well, he's a great mighty king and a great warrior. No, God did the work.
Amen.
Through his mercy, through his grace, through the faith that David had. And God gave him the faith to believe it.
Amen.
Let me tell you when you're going to fail. You're going to fail when you think that you're not a failure anymore. And you're going to fail when you think you will not fail. And you better keep leaning on the everlasting arm. Let him do the work. And you trust him. And David said, my enemies did not defeat me. I fear no man. I fear God. My enemies cannot stop me. They cannot destroy me. Only God can do that. And I put my life in God's hands. And I trust him that he'll get me to the other side. I said it before, I'll say it again. If you start trusting Jesus Christ enough, you'll say, if I die and go to hell, it'll be trusting Jesus Christ and him alone.
Amen.
You can't go to hell that way. That's called faith. That's called saving faith. That's called keeping faith. I've never looked at anybody and said, I hope I make it.
Right.
March the 5th, 1978, I put it on him. Now, if I die and go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it because he promised he'd keep me out of a devil's hell. And it's all in his hands, Brother Holroyd.
That's the place to
Well, you're a preacher. I'm not much of a preacher. There's a lot better preachers than I am. Well, you're a Christian. I'm not much of a Christian. There's a lot better Christians than I am. But I'll tell you this, I'm a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. And my life's in His hands. And Jeffrey, if I fail, I'm going to fail trusting Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What about what these people might say about you? Couldn't care less. Y'all sang happy birthday to me today. I'm 66 years old. I'm too old to worry about that stuff now. I'm not looking for a popularity contest. I just want to trust Him, follow Him, obey Him. Now, if that bothers you, you might not want to be around me. Amen. We'll start singing that song more. I shall, and we'll sing it like this. I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Amen. Why don't we sing it that way? Most Christians sing it like it's a question mark instead of a period. Amen. Thank God. I hope you got it tonight. I hope you got saving faith. I hope you've got keeping faith. I hope you got enough faith to know that it's not you, it's Him, and it's all Him, or it's not at all.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Put your trust in Him. Amen. And Him alone. I'm a Baptist preacher. I believe in the Baptist church. I wouldn't be here. But Baptists won't get you to heaven.
That's right.
About half the sinners in town died. They put in the paper, he was of the Baptist faith. Well, what did that get him? Amen. Amen. I'm going to trust Him. And if my enemies defeat me, I'm going to look up to God and say, God, this can't be possible. If it is, you lied to me. And Titus 1:2 says, God, you can't lie.
Right.
If I wake up in hell, I'm gonna look up to heaven. I'm gonna say, Jesus, you lied to me. It'll turn it into heaven. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, Father.